Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
He stopped like mid-sentence. He was like, when I was at WWE, I was asked to hire guys that looked like you. Right now, when I was still in that position, I would have offered you a contract right here on the spot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my guest at this time, the king of the Chicago Bear Hug, Mr.
I'm sorry. It's master of the Chicago Bear Hug.
Sorry, Mr. Michaels. The master of the Chicago Bear Hug, Steve Michaels. I apologize, I've never offended a man of your stature on purpose.
It's all right, I forgive you. Continue.
Thank you very much, Mr. Michaels. Now, we couldn't be happier to have you here at OVW. You are obviously a top-tier athlete, but what brought you here?
Well, OVW is where the best come to wrestle. And Steve Michaels is one of the best.
Well, so far you've made quite the impact, so now that you're here, what is your goal? What is the end game for Mr. Steve Michaels?
Well, there should be really only one goal, and that's the heavyweight title. And there's no one better than Steve Michaels to be OVW heavyweight champion. And I think everyone here knows that.
You know, you've only been here a short time, but you've been on an absolute tear, so I don't think that's far off from being in the future. I mean, you've been an absolute monster inside that ring.
A monster? You call Steve Michaels a monster? I will show you what a monster is!
Okay, I am so sorry. I misspoke. It was a slip of the tongue. I am so sorry, Mr. Michaels. Sir.
Do you know what? I forgive you, and I'm sorry for that outburst, Brian. Please forgive me.
You forgive. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Michaels.
Steve Michaels, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
It is genuinely an honor to have somebody on who looks so phenomenal in a suit. Genuinely.
I try. Those custom suits aren't cheap, man.
So I was going to ask you about it because there's a lovely picture on Twitter that you took before you went to OVW. And I was going to ask about the suit. Is it a custom suit job?
Yeah, it is a custom. I have found with my size and stature, off the rack suits don't necessarily fit me as well as it does others. So I'll spend the extra couple of bucks and get the custom suits.
Is there a particular place that's very much your go-to now for custom suits?
You know, honestly, Men's Warehouse has really good prices on custom suits. It's nothing super fancy, but man, you can tell they get the job done, and they look good when you need to wear them.
Nice. I mean, we'll get more into OVW and stuff in a bit, but I always like to know the behind the curtains on stuff like that. Is it customary for people to go suited and booted to OVW training? Is that just a personal thing for yourself?
You know, that's more of a personal thing for me. There's a handful of guys that do that, that will show up in suits. You know, I started it back when I was wrestling in Florida, when I was first getting started. And it's just one of those small things that, you know, I'm going to work. You know, I may not have a traditional conventional job. So I'm going to show up to my job, which is wrestling, in a suit. Prepared for work. It's kind of funny because it's changed the culture in a couple places I've worked. Guys will start seeing like, oh, he's showing up every day in a suit. Maybe I should at least wear a shirt and tie and you know, I'm glad I can kind of be a role model in that sense.
Because it's quite an old school thing to wear a suit when you, because it was, you know, it was sort of hardwired into people in sort of the 80s and the 90s. And I think a lot of people in WWE still kind of do it where, like, you go places and you're suited for it. So I like the fact that in places where that has fallen off, you're pushing ahead. You're carrying the torch, if you will.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and I've gotten a few guys that have been like, dude, there's like no one at this show. Why are you wearing a suit? And in reality, it's kind of just become my thing. It's almost become a routine at this point where it's like, hey, I've got to go to this show. Let me figure out what suit I'm wearing today and let's go. So I can look the best for the job I'm going to do.
Now, where we're sending you today, it might be too hot for a suit. Just a heads up. So we're sending you metaphorically to a desert island, Steve. So while you are there, whilst you're chilling out in the sunshine, you're going to have three matches burned onto a Blu-ray for you to watch whilst you kick back. But they're three matches that are going to have some significance to you, some personal meaning to you, maybe just three matches that you just love the bones off of that you want to watch over and over again. We're going to go through them one by one as we chat today. So what would you like your first one to be, Steve?
You know, I was thinking about this quite a bit last night, actually. And it's got to be Triple H Jericho from WrestleMania 18.
Ooh, okay.
It, the story that built up to that match was so good that once they got into the ring, you could tell it by watching the crowd, like, they told such a good tale by the moves that they did, the things that they did, the facial expressions in that match. And on a more personal note, that was like, I think that was only the second pay-per-view that my parents ever let me actually order. Before then, you know, I would get tapes and trade tapes and stuff like that. So it has a personal significance to me as being like, wow, this is like they really do up their games on these, you know, these live pay-per-views. So I still love that match and I'll watch it all the time.
What I love is that we've been doing this show for years now, and WrestleMania 18 does almost once a month come up, but it's not that match, as you might imagine, because a lot of people will cite Rock Hogan. And the conversation around that match is interesting because there's the general consensus from people is it was whilst that match was a strong outing from both of them, it shouldn't have gone on last. That's the general consensus. As much as you love that match, as much as it is actually a really strong match, where do you sit on that conversation?
You know, I think if you're looking at the amount of money that a match would have made, the amount of draw that a match did, then you would put Hogan Rock as main event, without question. But if you look at what they were trying to do with the titles at that time, if you look at kind of the direction post-WrestleMania 18 with the heavyweight title, they kind of had to put that as the main event because of where they needed to go story-wise.
It is a unique setup for that match as well. Again, one, like, you know, the build up to that is a lot of, you know, to the, I remember reading an article about that match, and it was it's quite a grumpy writer in the UK by Finn Martin, so I take everything he says with a bit of a pinch of salt. He's a lovely guy. He's a bit grumpy, Steve, but he was of the mindset of, if they could have got away with doing Triple H versus Stephanie McMahon for the Undisputed title, they would have done that instead. But Chris Jericho played a blinder in that match as well as Triple H. And what is there a moment from that match when you think about it, that a particular spot from it that you always recall?
I mean, I think everybody kind of immediately remembers the pedigree through the table on Stephanie.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that was such a wow moment. Because of everything that had built up to that, and her kind of hiding behind Jericho for so much of it. And then she finally got hers, and then it was like, yeah, they finally did it. So, yeah, that would have to be my, like, my one main, like memory of that match. If you were to ask me for one, like, right on the spot.
So you say this was the show, the first show that your parents let you watch. So, talk us through how Steve Michaels at a young age was watching this particular show. Were your parents watching it with you, or were you watching it on your own?
No, I mean, I was watching it on my own. So, growing up, my dad was always a wrestling fan. He would, you know, he'd watch Nitro, he'd watch Raw. My mom was not a fan. She still is not a fan of wrestling. So she was like, you're not watching that. I was like, okay, fine. But then I would like go downstairs and like my dad would have Nitro on and he'd be like, don't tell your mom we're watching this. And, you know, and we'd watch, you know, flip between Nitro and Raw and see all the Attitude Era stuff going on. And I was just enthralled by it. And then, you know, you start, once my mom realized I was watching, she's like, okay, fine. It's something you're doing with your dad and that's cool. Like it's fine. And then I would start doing like tape trading, or, you know, picking up, matches from like Blockbuster or Hollywood Video or whatever it is. And, start watching the pay-per-views that way. Cause my parents were both like, you can watch the basic shows, but like pay-per-views, like those will get expensive. We're not doing that. And eventually I think it was WrestleMania 17. I finally was like, look, please, I really need to like, just let me just do WrestleManias. And they were like, okay, fine. So WrestleMania 17 was the first one I ever watched. And then WrestleMania 18 was the second one I ever watched. And I would argue you can't pick two better WrestleManias as your first two pay-per-views that you watch live. So yeah, that's how that kind of worked.
We are recording this you're hearing this as well. We are well and truly in WrestleMania season. As a competitor yourself now, Steve, are you still as much a fan of the build up and the hype around WrestleMania as you were when you were buying WrestleMania 17?
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit different now because you look at things differently as a wrestler. You know, you look at the way that they're telling the stories now. You're looking at the matches they're having, like the technical aspects of the matches now. But you know, every year I still if I'm not booked WrestleMania weekend, I'll hang out with my friends and we'll do our annual WrestleMania watch party at over at my buddy Jason's house, and we'll all just kind of get together and just be fans. So yeah, I mean, I love this time of year. Like, everybody's thinking about wrestling. It's not just good for like the WWE. It's great for all wrestling, you know, because everybody's thinking about, you know, it's great for OVW. It's great for all the independents right now. Like, because everybody's all about wrestling. So we all just kind of build upon it and just take that ride with everybody.
Have you got plans in Dallas for WrestleMania week?
There's a couple things that I'm working on. I'm talking to a couple people. I would absolutely love to do more stuff out there. I'll actually be in San Antonio the week after for a show in San Antonio. But yeah, I'm working on a couple things still.
What I love is how WrestleMania has evolved over the years, from like when you and I were watching WrestleMania 17 to now, and how WrestleMania, as a fan, is still a spectacle, but as a performer, it's a bit like over here. It's a bit like the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, in the sense that the whole wrestling world just seems to descend upon wherever WrestleMania is that week. And you just have every promotion, or you know, pretty much everybody mixing and blending in some way, shape or form. So even as you say, you're hopefully working on a couple of things. And will you take time while you're there to drink in some of the scenery as well, if you're in Dallas for the week?
Yeah. Oh, of course. Like you mentioned, WrestleMania has like, week. It used to be just WrestleMania the day, then it became WrestleMania weekend, and now it's a whole week. So you know, there's so much stuff to do, so many shows, so much talent. There's, you know, full wrestling conventions now that are showing up WrestleMania week. And it's a great place to see a bunch of independent guys and get to know a bunch of new faces. So, yeah, I mean, I'll definitely be wandering around. I'm a big fan of sightseeing, too, in new towns. So I'll definitely be seeing some of the sights as well.
Let's wind the clock back a little bit. So you've said here, and you've said in other interviews as well, that you tape traded, and that was how you discovered so much around the world. I mean, for those who missed that whole part of the wrestling community, how did you get into the tape trading scene?
You know, I kind of stumbled onto it, actually. I had a friend in high school who was like, hey, you know, he was a big wrestling fan, and we kind of bonded on that. And he was like, one day he was like, hey, did you ever see, I don't remember what the pay-per-view was. He asked me if I saw this one pay-per-view. I was like, no, I've never seen it. He's like, hold on, I can get you a tape of it. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, this is a pay-per-view from like 97. And this is, you know, 2002. I'm like, how do you have a tape of this? He's like, oh, like there's a bunch of us that do this. And that was kind of my introduction to it. Like at that point I had started taping like the Raws and SmackDowns and stuff like that. And, the different like televised shows that I was getting. And he was like, yeah, like whatever, literally whatever you want. And so, you know, that's how I first got introduced to OVW, was through those tape trades. Because we at the time they didn't have television coverage up here in Chicago. And so I got introduced to John Cena and Brock Lesnar and Dave Bautista. Like, it was wild. It like opened up the whole world. Because, you know, then people were like, hey, did you ever see this stuff in Japan? Like, they started talking about like the death matches in Japan for like the Terry Funk, like Mick Foley stuff. And I was like, I've only heard of it, but like, I've never seen it. And they're like, hold on, like we can get you those tapes. It was a really neat time. Like, wrestling fans have always been like rabid and diehard and all that stuff. But it was almost another level back then, because you had to go through so much if you really wanted to see something particular.
Out of all the tapes, and there will be hundreds, no doubt, that you've traded back and forth over the years, is there one in particular that you coveted the most? One in particular that really changed your perception on wrestling, maybe?
Yeah, honestly, and as weird as this sounds, I had never really been exposed to the stuff over in Japan, like the FMW stuff. And I got an FMW tape, and that like changed my life, because I was like, this is insane. Like, this is completely different than anything that's ever been on TV here in the US. I was like, what is, like, I was an ECW fan, so I was familiar with like some of that style, but seeing like exploding like rings and like barbed wire rope, like I was like, this is insanity. And that really kind of like made me think, well, wrestling can be anything. Like, wrestling can literally be anything you want it to be. And there's an audience for pretty much anything. And so that was kind of a game changer for me.
Was there a desire at that point to throw yourself into that style?
Not at all.
I like it, but from over here, you do that, yeah. Over there, I'll just watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch it all day. I'll watch those the death matches. They've gotten to become even more extreme now, which I'm personally not a huge fan of. But I respect all those guys that are doing it and making a living doing it. But yeah, I mean, I'll do a hardcore match. I'll do a street fight. I'll do a, you know, those ladder matches, cage matches, whatever. But you know, when it comes to like light tubes and stuff like that, that's not my scene.
Not everybody who tape trades makes the jump to get into wrestling. What was it that made you decide, not only do I like this, I want to do this?
You know, it wasn't anything directly related to tape trading. It was kind of funny. As a fan, I went to one of the WrestleManias out in California with one of my good friends. You know, I was in college at the time. You know, I was studying anthropology and ended up meeting the Wild Samoans just as a fan. And I'll never forget Afa looking at me and being like, "Do you wrestle?" And I was like, I don't. I'm not sure if I can cut it. And he just kind of smiled and he was like, "You never know until you try." And that kind of got the mind rolling and the gears turning. And then fast forward to about a month later, there was a convention here in Chicago. And at the time I had a really small wrestling podcast just as a fan. And we somehow got a press pass. And we did an interview with Tommy Dreamer, and Tommy was, and still is, a wrestler I was always a fan of. And after our short interview, we were just kind of, you know, shooting the breeze, and he stopped like mid-sentence. He was like, "By the way, I've been meaning to ask you, do you wrestle?" And I was like, "You're the second person that's asked me this." And at the time I was 28, you know, and he was like, "Well," he's like, "for what it's worth," he's like, "when I was at WWE, I was asked to hire guys that looked like you. So if you were a wrestler right now and I was still in that position, I would have offered you a contract right here on the spot."
Wow.
Yeah. And that's really kind of a mind-blowing statement to hear as a fan. And he's like, "How old are you?" And I was like, "I'm 28, you know?" He was like, "Go get started now." And by September of that year, that was March, by September of that year, I had picked up and moved to Florida and started training in Florida. And it was the best decision I've ever made in my life.
Out of interest, what happened with the podcast?
You know, once I started wrestling, I just didn't have time anymore. All my focus went on training. You know, we kicked around the idea of bringing it back eventually, but it's OVW's keeping me so busy. Wrestling's keeping me so busy right now. It's hard for me to make that commitment to, you know, once a week to come up with new content and put out new content like that. And, dedicate the time to doing it. So unfortunately went by the wayside, but it brought me some good things. So I'm feel pretty blessed that I had the opportunity to even try it.
Everything happens for a reason. So it's one of those things where you, whilst the future was never going to be doing the podcast got you into a room with Tommy Dreamer that gave you that conversation.
Exactly.
That's what led to what led to. But whilst you were doing that, you mentioned there that you were studying anthropology. So had you not had that conversation with the Wild Samoans and with Tommy Dreamer, what would you have ended up doing, do you think?
Man, I would have loved to have worked in a museum. I'm a science nerd. I'm a history nerd at the core of it. But I would have loved to have just kind of worked in a natural history museum and, just, you know, cataloging like pots and stuff like that would have made me happy. I've always been interested in that stuff since I was a child. So yeah, I would either be there or out in the field doing digs someplace, and which wouldn't be terrible either. But I'm happy with where I'm at in wrestling and being with OVW and getting the opportunity just to literally live a dream. You know, I'm living my childhood dream.
I want to talk about your time in OVW in a moment, but we've got your second match to get to for your DVD. So what would you like to accompany Chris Jericho and Triple H from WrestleMania 18 on your desert island then, Steve?
I would go with, this is a match that I discovered later on. And it's always kind of piqued my interest. Just because of the styles, but Mysterio Guerrero from Halloween Havoc 97. I could never work that style. but watching the way that they moved in that ring, the things that they did that was so innovative for that time. I mean, there was nobody really doing that stuff on main television in US TV in 97. So they really kind of opened up the door for a lot of that lucha style in America, in mainstream America. And I that match holds up so well too.
What led you to discover it? Because obviously, as you said, you weren't watching the pay-per-views with your dad. You were just watching the main show, so you wouldn't have seen this one until much later. But so who was it that turned you on to that match?
Honestly, I stumbled upon it. There were like WWE released like a Eddie Guerrero DVD, and it was on there. And that was the first time I had ever seen it. And I was like, I watched that match and I immediately fell in love with it. I'm a big Eddie Guerrero fan anyway, and as I think most people are. But just watching the way that he and Ray kind of worked and just told this unique tale while doing all these high-flying moves, it's captivating. It's very captivating to watch, and it still holds up so well.
We obviously lost Eddie Guerrero back in 2005. For yourself, what is, outside of that match, what is the legacy that Eddie Guerrero leaves behind?
I think it's the fact that no one has anything bad to say about him. Like, I think if you're around wrestling long enough, and you spend time in wrestling locker rooms or any kind of time around even wrestling fans, it's hard to find somebody that nobody has anything bad to say about. And he's one of those guys that you can go up to anybody that's worked with him and they'll be like, man, I loved Eddie. You know, I've talked with Doug Basham down at OVW. He's become a mentor to me down there, and he's, man, the stories he's told me about working with Eddie, the level of love that everyone kind of still feels for him is what his real legacy is. It's not the moves, it's not the matches, it's the person that he was.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You've packed up, you've gone to Florida, and you're pursuing the wrestling dream. It was Team 3D, wasn't it? The Academy, with yourself?
I did. I went there. I was at Team 3D for a year. They gave me a really great kind of base. Honestly, there were so many schools down in Florida. There were very few wrong choices to make. But I, again, ECW fan. I of course wanted to learn from the Dudleys, and got to train and learn from a lot of great wrestlers. Serpentico, was a trainer there. Devon was there almost every day. Their head personal trainer, Dan Carr, was always fantastic to me. I have nothing bad to say about that place. It gave me a good foundation. But it ended up, you know, after a year, I felt like I needed to sit under a different learning tree to kind of round out my views on wrestling. So I went to a place called Pro Wrestling 2.0, which was also in the Orlando area, which meant I didn't have to move again. But their head trainer at the time was Jesus Rodriguez, who fans would know as Ricardo Rodriguez, Del Rio's ring announcer. What most people might not know is Jesus is one heck of a luchador, and he is an amazing wrestler. You know, the school itself was run by Alex Porto, who had a stint in WWE as the Pug in like the early 90s. But Jesus became a real kind of a mentor to me. He still is. I still talk to him. You know, he would kind of, when anytime I'd get in my own head, he would sit me down, have a couple words of wisdom, kind of fix me right up, and then I'd be ready to go. And I learned so much there. I ended up having my first match at their school showcase. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how things went. You know, 3D was amazing. 2.0 really kind of polished me and got me ready for the road.
So, yeah, as you say, there's so many to choose from in Florida in terms of wrestling schools. What was the factor that made you decide not only to step away from Team 3D, but why did you choose Jesus Rodriguez to continue your training?
Yeah, so I left 3D because the things I was learning there were great. It was technically sound. It was all the basics that I would need to know. They weren't designed as a school that put on shows. So in order to get on the road, I would then have to find my own shows immediately once I was cleared from training. 2.0 had a school. They had shows. They had shows with wrestlers that were in town from Puerto Rico and from across the U.S. and other students. And it really seemed like kind of the right place to go if I wanted to start getting actual real life experience. And Jesus, I did a little bit of research on him. It just kind of felt like the right fit. The people that I trained with, let me say this really quick, before I forget. I was talking with one of the Florida wrestlers 2 weeks ago. People don't realize it right now, but the amount of talent that came from Central Florida from about 2015 through 2019 is insane. There's so much talent that you see today on the indies that are killing it that came from that time frame, and that story's not been written yet. It will be one day. That story is going to be told, and people are going to kind of look back on the people that I got the opportunity to kind of train with and work with. Like, I've known Omar since then, Omar Amir from OVW. I've known him since 3D, you know, Trisha Dora. I've trained with her at 3D. You know, I'm Marquise Hamilton, the new NXT ref. He was one of my best friends and a longtime rival down there. Like, the success level that people are having is kind of off the charts. I just wanted to mention that, because I think there's a lot of people that are that are doing great things today that I don't think people realize all came essentially from the same class of wrestlers in Florida.
Because, I mean, you've got this amazing swell of talent in 2022. And it's the reason they seem to have sort of bamfed into existence is because they've been grafting at their talent since, as you say, 2015. And that's why the scene is so strong at the moment. And you mentioned that, and I'm genuinely excited to hear more of that story get told in years to come, of this body of talent from the Florida area that just exploded out into America, exploded out across the world, and made more things happen. That's going to be a really cool story to tell. I want to mention this. I mean, you don't have to answer this if you don't need to, but going back to the conversation you had with Tommy Dreamer, and how Tommy said, you know, when I worked for WWE, if I saw a guy who looked like you, I'd be offering you a contract straight away.
Yeah.
Has there ever been any sort of discussion around WWE and possibly doing more stuff there?
You know, honestly, I'm happy with where I am right now. I know that's going to sound like a real kind of like a political answer.
No, not at all. If you're happy, you're happy.
I mean, I'm so happy with the things that OVW's been doing. You know, I know there've been a couple potential opportunities with AEW that my name has come up in some discussions. You know, if I get the call from WWE, I'll happily answer that call. If I get the call from AEW, I'll happily answer that call. Right now, you know, I'm a contracted wrestler for Ohio Valley Wrestling. And, you know, with the history and the lineage there, I'm thrilled to be there.
And that's all it's about right now is you can tell from watching you doing what you do at OVW that you're enjoying it, that you're having a good time there, and you're part of a wonderful class of people that are doing something there. And we had Jesse Goddard on the other week having a chat about this, and I want to ask you the same question that I asked the OVW national champion, which is, you know, the history of Ohio Valley Wrestling runs so deep. You said yourself when you were tape trading, it was people like Batista, John Cena, Shelton Benjamin, the Bashams, and a multitude of other names, Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar. How to forget Brock Lesnar? But how'd you forget? With all that history there, is there a pressure on you?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an inherent pressure that kind of comes with working at that level. You know, I mean, it's OVW is now a television company, you know? So there's now, it's not as much a pressure of, you know, am I going to be the next Brock Lesnar? Am I going to be the next Batista? It's a whole different kind of pressure now, because now people know, like you said, people know the names that came from there when it was a developmental system. So people are tuning into it now expecting to see the next Brock Lesnar. They're expecting to see the next Randy Orton, because that's kind of the legacy that OVW currently has. Where in reality now we've really kind of grown and we've become our own, entity. So, you know, yeah, I mean, there's pressure to it, but, I show up, I do my job, I go home, I try not let it get to me. And I just try and appreciate the moments.
How did you get in contact with OVW in the first place, to go from sort of, you know, learning your craft around Florida to heading to Louisville? Like, how does that conversation start with you?
So it was kind of a roundabout way, actually, because once I moved back to Chicago, after I had really started to get a foothold of wrestling, I was wrestling for a company up in Chicago called Berwyn Championship Wrestling, and I had the opportunity one day to wrestle Jay Bradley, who's now over at the NWA as one of the fixers. And Jay and I had a really great match. He was extremely selfless in giving of himself. And the finish of that match, he changed the finish of that match, which changed my trajectory in that company from that moment on. Because Jay was supposed to win. He was supposed to go over, and he recognized that I was the one getting all the cheers that night. And he was like, "Nope, you're going to beat me in the middle of the ring." He told me, he's like, "Nope, pin me, put me in the bear hug right now." And I will never forget that. I'm sure that's something that Jay doesn't really want talked about that much, but it meant a lot to me. But then Jay and I didn't talk again after that. Like he ended up leaving that company. And then like a year or two later, I had an opportunity with Impact out in Vegas. I was talking to the former booker at Berwyn, and he was like, "Let me get you in contact with Jay, because Jay worked at Impact." He was like, "You know, maybe he's got some advice for you as to what they're looking for and, you know, what you can do to stand out." And Jay gave me some advice. But then Jay was like, "You know, I'm currently one of the head trainers at OVW, and we're doing a bunch of really great stuff down here." He's like, "It's about to blow up." That was his exact words. "OVW is about to blow up. And I think you'd like to be a part of this." He's like, I can get you a shot down here if you want. And again, you know, knowing the history of OVW, I was like, "Yeah, let's do it." Remember driving down there in September of 2019 and getting to the Davis Arena for the first time. And, you know, it's got the old OVW logo on the side of the building and everything. And it's back in like an industrial area. And I'm like, "This is the place." Like, and you walk in and you get hit with the history, because that building has not changed a whole ton. And the rest is kind of history there. I've been working OVW ever since. I feel extremely grateful for that opportunity that Jay got me to kind of get my foot in the door there.
Obviously, you got there in September 2019. It wasn't really long after that that the whole world shut down. Yeah. As we all were a part of a history, something that'll be written about in history textbooks for years to come. Something you might be archiving in a museum at some point. You never know. What kept you mentally sane during that time? You've moved to a new place, and all of a sudden, the thing that you were there to do, you can't do the way that you were hoping to do. So, what sort of kept you mentally ticking over during that time?
You know, it was tough. I was, personally, I was out of work for about 6 months, where I just literally was kind of sitting at home, which at first was kind of nice, because I was doing a lot of traveling, and I was flying a lot of places, and I wasn't getting a lot of time to spend in my own bed. So for about the first month, I was like, "Yeah, this is pretty great. I'm actually like, I actually get to live at home for a while." And then it just, you know, I think with everybody, it was kind of like, "Oh, this may go on for a while." So I, you know, I binged watched some TV. I did pretty much the same stuff that everyone did. Just kind of was like, actually the day San Antonio shut down, I was supposed to be out in San Antonio for a show. I've a non-OVW show out there, and I flew out there that whole week, because that was March of 2020, the first or second week of March 2020. And I remember that whole week talking to that promoter and being like, "Hey, are we good?" And he's like, "Yeah, we're all good, cool." And then I get out there the Friday, the day before the show, and at noon on Friday they were like, "We're shutting everything down." So I ended up having to, I luckily found a show in Laredo, which was about 2 hours away. But at that point I knew, I was like, you know, this may be my last show and I don't know how long. I don't think any of us knew how long that was, you know, this things were going to be the way that they were and are. And I was just kind of like, I'm going to enjoy this because I may honestly never get a chance to do this again if it's as bad as it seems today. Had a banger of a match in Laredo and had as much fun as I could. And that honestly kind of, I just kept that memory and I kept that kind of feeling throughout until I was able to go back to work at OVW. Cause I was just like, yeah, if that was my last match for a while, I'm okay with that.
Obviously, we're in a place now where the world is back up and running again, as is OVW. This weekend, it's March Mayhem. When that again, and another great night for OVW coming up, and they seem to be putting on these massive shows as of late. And what are some of your goals, Steve? Now that you know the motor is properly running on OVW for yourself, what are some of your goals you'd like to achieve in the next 12 months there?
First and foremost, I want my tag titles back. The Legacy of Brutality, you know, Zoe and I, we had those tag titles. The LOB, and this is a verifiable fact, is the longest, had the longest reign of OVW tag team champions in the history of the company. We had it for well over a year. We lost it to the Tates. We want those titles back. And I'm ready to do whatever it takes to get them back. Dark Clouds have them right now. I've got a lot of respect for the Dark Clouds. Eric and Bundles, nothing but love to them. But if it comes down to it, I'm happy to run through them to take back what is our property.
Yeah, that's what we like. That's what we like. We're going to do the big sell for OVW in a minute for March Mayhem and everything else and for yourself. But we've got one more match for your Desert Island, Steve. What would you like your third and final match to be?
So this is one that I actually keep going back to study because it's a great match with a big man and a decent-sized wrestler that we're both kind of at the top of their game. Vader versus Sting at the Great American Bash 1992.
Nice. Now, Vader has had some big matches in WCW, but what about this one in particular pushes it over the top for you?
It was just the watching it, there was a physicality level that Vader and Sting just kind of both brought out of each other. Sting is and always will be one of the best wrestlers in the world. And Vader was just kind of, he was at the top of his game at this point. Like he was moving real well. You could tell he had a lot of motivation and just kind of a lot of drive to him. And Sting was really just, he was just on this upward slope of this meteoric rise that, you know, was and is his career. And when they had this clash, like it was something to see. And the way Vader moves in that match is something that I personally try and focus on there. Cause he just had this way of, he was a big dude. But he could move like he was like a cruiserweight, and that I always found impressive.
Is there a particular moment from that one? I always like to try and pick out certain moments that maybe a Vader moment that you yourself have replicated or tried to emulate or paid homage to in some of your work.
I mean, not from that match in particular that I've tried to homage, but I mean, I'll occasionally bust out the big Vader bomb in my repertoire. I do. He does this running kind of like body avalanche splash instead of just, you know, regular shoulder tackle, just avalanche over the guys. I use that frequently. I've stolen that from him. He's he's one of those wrestlers that I tried to base a lot of my in-ring physicality on.
Yeah, I think there's a real big man energy that a lot of people will try and draw from with Vader, and he's a good person to draw it from. Some of that big man energy that you're bringing to OVW, putting on March Mayhem this weekend on Fight. For those who are going to be watching this weekend, maybe some OVW fans that have lost their way and are finding their way back on the right path, what can people expect? Who should people look out for when watching OVW on Fight this weekend?
You know, OVW, this isn't, you know, the OVW of the early 2000s anymore. This is a verifiable television-based company. You know, our programming is on is in more households than every wrestling program except for SmackDown. That's a fact. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize that. It has such wide availability, not just in North America, but across Europe and globally. So anybody can go on to Fight TV and open up the app and see our programming. If it's not locally, the talent level that's there right now is so good. You've got guys like Tony Bizzo, who is a heck of a wrestler. You've got guys like the Dark Clouds, who I cannot say enough about. Eric and Buns, I love those guys. You can go down the female roster is great. Ari Alexander is a phenomenal wrestler. One of the best female wrestlers I've had an opportunity to work with and talk with in a locker room. It's a whole new level. These aren't developmental guys anymore. These are verified stars and names that you're going to hear from for a long, long time to come.
Now, Steve, you are a busy guy outside of OVW. You are still grafting. Where can people find you next outside of Ohio Valley Wrestling?
So I actually have a show in the Chicago area coming up in 2 weeks on March 12th in Joliet, Illinois. It's for a company called Rocket Pro Wrestling. I will be going up against former Impact star, NWA wrestler Marche Rocket for the Rocket Pro Wrestling heavyweight title. And if you show up to that show, I may bring some friends from OVW to have my back. And let's just say that this match might end up being very brutal.
And if people want to keep up with what you are up to, sir, where can they find you online?
You can find me online. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I try and keep it simple, all at Chicago Bear Hug, all one word. I'm extremely active on Twitter and on Instagram and on Facebook. So you can always find out where I'm at, find out what OVW shows I'm on, what independent shows I'm on. You can always, I'm going to do a merch plug for my Pro Wrestling Tees store, which is also prowrestlingtees.com/Chicago Bear Hug. You can pick up a bunch of the Steve Michaels shirts there, I'm always glad to get new followers, get new fans. And I love interacting with them. I think that's a key that's kind of been lost over the years is, I appreciate each fan that I get. So if you follow me, shoot me a text, shoot me a message, say hi. I'm always glad to say hi to my fans.
Find for the wrestling, stay for the suits, because they're very good suits.
Yeah, it's those it's those Men's Warehouse Joseph Abboud suits. If I don't get a free suit out of this one, I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
If NS guess that's the bare minimum of what we should expect from today. Three suits for Chicago Bear hug, please. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.